Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic, and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. May 2015, La Plata, Maryland. An innocent picture of a mother pushing her toddler son on some playground swings. What should have been a beautiful moment between a mother and a son. But something more sinister was at play. This isn't a story about a horrid monster abusing and neglecting their child until they could no more. This is a sad story of mental illness and what happens when that spirals out of control. This is Jieri's story. Jieri Donnell Lee was born August 22, 2011 in Clinton, Maryland, to parents Remekia Sims and James Donnell Lee. Sims had lived in Maryland her whole life, and growing up, her future was promising, graduating from high school with good grades and attending Bowie University, studying to be a secondary school teacher. During this time, Sims was living with her mother, Vontasha Sims, and for all intents and purposes, they had a strained relationship at best. Something that would be in contention for the mother and daughter was when, at university, Sims became pregnant and dropped out of her studies to focus on her child. Sims was dating, at the time, James Donnell Lee, who was working as a construction worker living in Washington, D.C., the two meeting at a basketball game in 2008. This relationship was over before Jieri was born. But that doesn't mean that Donald wasn't dedicated to being an active father in his son's life. He'd promised Sims that even though they weren't together, he would do everything in his power to be there for her and their son. Sims moving to Washington, D.C., so they could co-parent Jieri together. So, while this wasn't the most perfect of starts for this little boy, he was wanted and very much loved from before he was born. Jieri was a well-adjusted, happy little boy. He loved his family. He was your typical rambunctious toddler. He loved being outside and playing in dirt. He loved watching his cousin play football. Jieri would later be described by those who knew and loved him as playful, and you could not help but fall in love with his cheeky smile. I mean, come on, look at his photos. He was an adorable, squishy-faced baby, as they all are. An absolutely beautiful boy whose story ended far too soon, when it really should have just been beginning. In the years before Jieri's death, it was noted that Sims' behaviour was becoming somewhat erratic. Late 2014, Sims would start talking about that she was hearing voices. She was experiencing paranoia, all signs she was having a psychotic break. This would escalate in early 2015, when Sims called 911 to report there were people trying to kill her. when first responders arrived at her apartment, Sims was absolutely distraught. This led to Fontasha taking her daughter to MedStar Southern Maryland Hospital Center for an evaluation. April 2015, Sims was formally diagnosed with schizophrenia, which is quite a difficult mental illness to live with. Not impossible, but Sims had a long road ahead of her to keep on top of managing her symptoms. She was prescribed antipsychotic medication, and while initially that really helped, Sims would later admit there were times where she didn't take her medication. And mid-May 2015 would be one of those occasions where Sims would admit to not taking her medication for several days. And this is something we've seen a number of times on this podcast. Medication makes someone feel better. They rationalise this with that they don't need to take the medication anymore, or maybe not as often, because any antipsychotic medication does affect you to varying degrees. So maybe since you are feeling better and you don't like the way the medication makes you feel, then what is the harm to miss days here and there or to stop taking the medication altogether? The thing is, the harm is great, because without that medication, there is nothing to stabilise the mental illness, and these effects are immediate. Unfortunately, the diagnosis of schizophrenia wasn't the only life-changing event going on in Sims' life. She was also struggling with bouts of homelessness, and there are multiple reports of domestic violence disputes between Sims and Fontasha. As I mentioned, their relationship was not stable, with these reports going back as far as 2012. One particular incident would see Sims charged with second-degree assault after pulling out her mother's hair extensions. Sims would later talk about feeling really overwhelmed during this time. She had just had a baby. She was trying to continue to work to support her new baby, and it had all gotten too much for her to keep a handle on. Despite all of this, though, Donald, his family, and the Sims family, they would all speak highly of Sims as a mother, that Gieri was her entire existence, her reason to keep on going, that she was nothing but gentle and loving towards him, that she never raised her voice or a hand to him, that all she wanted to be was his mother, even though she was going through a serious psychotic breakdown. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
May 20th, 2015. Sims takes her 3-year-old son, Gieri, to Wills Memorial Park in Maryland. One witness would later report to police that she'd seen Sims pushing her son on the swings for hours, even after dark. A neighbour to the park became highly alarmed when 2 days later, in the early morning hours, she sees the mother and son still out there, Sims still pushing Gieri on the swings. She called 911 to report what she saw. May 22, 2015, 7 a.m. Police officers arrived at the park. Here they find Ramekia Sims kneeling beside 3-year-old Gieri Lee's body, still in the swing. She is confused and distraught. She calls out to police that her son is sick, that he's having trouble breathing, that she needs their help. Officers lift Gieri's body from the swing and begin CPR. Even though it was immediately clear it was far too late, that he'd been dead for some time. Gieri's body was cold to the touch. Rigor mortis had set in, with his arms and legs stiff and frozen in place. He was not wearing a jacket. This was found in a nearby garbage bin. His shoes had also been removed and found next to the swings full of rainwater. Now, Sims is not fully grasping the situation here. She is screaming that they need to help her son, that he is sick. She is hysterical. Sims is taken by ambulance to a nearby hospital for psychiatric evaluation. She would remain under psychiatric care for 4 days, while doctors work to stabilise her mental health. The Charles County Sheriff's Office medical examiner would be tasked with Jieri's autopsy, and it would be determined he died from dehydration and hypothermia. There were no signs of any external injury, so this was not a case of systematic and ongoing child abuse. That the only reason this little boy died was because he was left to the elements for an extended period of time. Temperatures in the park over the course of the 2 days they were there reached a low of 10 degrees Celsius or 50 degrees Fahrenheit. And when you consider Jieri wasn't dressed for this, he wasn't wearing shoes or a jacket, then this had catastrophic implications. Now, one of the things that were noted in the autopsy was that Jieri had a cough at the time he was in the park, and it was raining. And of course, this is a perfect storm to fast-track someone succumbing to the elements, especially when we're talking about a small child. The spokesperson for the Charles County Sheriff's Office, Diane Richardson, she said during a press conference that the temperatures for that May were unusually chilly, and there was above-average rainfall. Understandably, this case begins as a homicide. There were no other explanations for this in the early days of the investigation. Here is a mother at the park. She's pushing a child who is not dressed for the weather. As I said, it had been cold and raining. This child being on the swing for an extended period of time. It made no other sense than there had to be abuse involved. Ramekia Sims would not be immediately charged. And during the course of the investigation, it was clear there had been significant concerns of Sims' ability to parent Jieri. Yes, she loved her son more than anything in this world, but that doesn't mean she was the best person to have custody of the 3-year-old. So much so, in March 2015, so 2 months before his death, Donald Lee filed for full legal custody of his son. Donald telling the judge, quote, "I just don't believe she can safely care for our son," unquote. And what was the catalyst of Donald filing for custody was 1 month before that, February 2015. So, not long after she called police paranoid that someone was trying to kill her, Sims jumped from a moving taxi. And because of this mindset she was in, because she was obviously struggling to maintain her schizophrenia, and while putting herself in danger as a result of this, she was also putting Jieri's life at risk. And Donald wanted to keep by his promise that he was going to do good by Sims and Jieri. He wanted to take that pressure off of his son's mother by taking over custody while she got well again. This would go before the family courts, April 2015, and Sims would admit to having periods where she was struggling. But that was all behind her now, and she had the necessary support and resources in place to keep her mental health stabilised, and for her to continue to be the primary caregiver to Jieri, with Donald having regular visitation. Something they had successfully maintained all of their son's short life. And on May 11, 2015, this arrangement was ruled to continue. The judge not believing Sims was at any risk to the 3-year-old's safety. And then, just a little more than a week later, little Jieri would be dead. September 14, 2015. The Charles County State's Attorney's Office convened a grand jury to decide whether charges would be appropriate. And if so, what charges should Ramekia Sims face? The jury indicted her on multiple counts. First-degree child abuse resulting in death, involuntary manslaughter, and child neglect. The judge ordering Sims to be arrested and held without bail. 24-year-old Ramekia Sims appeared in court for arraignment. The prosecutors announcing they were going to be requesting the maximum sentence here, if a guilty verdict was reached, which is up to 45 years imprisonment. They also requested that she continue being held without bail, as she posed a danger to herself and the community. Sims cried when speaking in her own defence, quote, "I am not a risk to anyone. I didn't even mean for this to happen," unquote. Ultimately, a bond was set for $150,000, and a criminal trial was scheduled for February 2016. As all of this was playing out, Jieri was laid to rest, his funeral being held June 5, 2015, 2 weeks after his death, at the First Baptist Church of Highland Park in Landover, Maryland. Sims was in attendance at the funeral. Now, there would be obviously conflicting feelings over whether or not Sim should have been allowed to be at her son's funeral. But I think the most telling and the most important opinion to this came down to Jieri's father, Donal. And if you weren't already convinced of this man's poise and strength, Donal stood next to Sim throughout the funeral, holding her hand as they both broke down at the sight of their son's tiny white casket. As the casket left the church, the song This Little Heart of Mine played, and in the funeral program, it included a letter Sims had written to Jieri. Quote, "Son, the joy you brought into my life is unexplainable. I miss you so much, Jieri. Way more than I can possibly express through words. I am solely accepting your passing. I want you to know that I've always been extremely proud of you, and I love you until the end of time. You are amazing. Love always, Mummy." Unquote. Now, this was a more complex investigation for prosecutors, because this wasn't the typical case we talk about when a parent is responsible for the death of a child. There was no ongoing abuse or neglect. Yes, this was a horrific case, but this wasn't straight out what we consider a child murder. But Sims was responsible for Jieri's death. But was she responsible in a legal context? Because of her mental health being so fractured at the time these events played out, is there an argument there that she was not culpable for the crime? Now, to be actually deemed mentally incompetent is not an easy feat. We see time and time again those who play up their medical conditions or fabricate symptoms to try and excuse what they have done. I've actually got another story coming up very soon where we'll see this actually play out. But there are hoops to jump through. Multiple psychiatrists that need to be convinced that this person wasn't mentally sound at the time of the crime and in the aftermath. And to be truly deemed mentally incompetent, it rarely happens. Late 2015, the court ordered a number of psychiatric evaluations. Now, we know by this stage, Sims had been already diagnosed with schizophrenia and bipolar, that she had been prescribed antipsychotic medications. But as we also know, Sims wasn't consistent with taking these medications, so there already was this documented history there that Sims was struggling with her mental facilities. February 2016, the prosecution announced the results of the psychiatric testing from two expert evaluators. All concluded that Sims was not criminally responsible for her son's death, and this was because of her mental diagnosis. That while it was determined Sims was competent to stand trial, because of Sims' schizophrenia, she could not understand the wrongfulness of her actions. It was also determined Sims was not a danger to others, as long as she was properly medicated. And it was recommended she be released under supervision, rather than be committed to a psychiatric facility. Sims was also honest about the fact not only was she not taking her medication as prescribed, but she was also heavily using marijuana during this period. And this honestly wouldn't have helped her mental state. Someone who was already experiencing paranoia symptoms, this was the worst decision Sims could have made, along with not taking her medication. Sims would also say in her interviews with psychiatrists that she genuinely believed her son was just sick. She thought he was struggling to breathe. She had no idea that she was the one who put Jieri in that situation. And in the hospital, Sims claimed two women she didn't know came into her room and tried to drug her drinking water. Now, this is extremely unlikely, but it shows Sims' level of paranoia, because she completely believed this is 100% what happened. February 22nd, 2016, Charles County Circuit Court. Remekia Sims enters her plea, an Alford plea to involuntary manslaughter. And we have seen Alford pleas before in this podcast. It allows someone to plead guilty, but not admit any wrongdoing, but also acknowledging that the prosecution had enough evidence to convict them. So as part of entering the Alford plea, the charges of first-degree child abuse and child neglect were dropped in exchange for the involuntary manslaughter charge. Now, because of the psychiatric evaluations, there was also a determination that Sims was not criminally responsible, which is similar to not guilty by reason of insanity. Sims was then released under a strict set of conditions. First, she was given a 5-year conditional release under the supervision of the state. And as part of that, Sims needed to continue to take her prescribed medication. She needed to keep regular appointments with her psychiatrist. She had to follow any rules that were set by the court monitor. other conditions included, Sims needed to avoid unsupervised contact with any children. She had to submit to random blood tests to confirm she'd been taking her medication and not any illicit substances. And if Sims would violate any of these conditions, the state had the right to have her committed to a psychiatric hospital. Now, obviously, when we have a situation where a child has lost its life and there isn't a lengthy prison sentence attached, there is some pushback by the community, because there is understandably a desire for us to know justice has been served, and a prison sentence is a very tangible result that delivers that. The prosecution made it very known that they weren't happy with the judge's decision, stating they believed Sims tortured her son to death and was responsible for his care, and as such, Jieri's death need not have happened if Sims had stayed in treatment. But the defence would counter-argue this, in that institutionalising Sims would have been a huge step back in her recovery, that now she was back on her medication and the gravity of what happened had been realised. Sims was already living a life sentence. She no longer had the son she loved. But this wouldn't be enough punishment in the eyes of some, because in late 2016, Charles County officials petitioned to revoke Sims' conditional release, arguing she had violated the terms of her supervision. Under Maryland law, when a person under conditional release is accused of breaching the terms of this release, the court can immediately issue a hospital warrant. And what this means is they would be held involuntarily, pending a hearing for a psychiatric evaluation. Sims' legal team would challenge this, arguing Maryland's hospital warrant statute violated her due process rights, meaning the court had to prove that Sims was a danger to herself or others before she could be involuntarily committed. 2020, the Maryland Court of Appeals ruled there was probable cause to believe Sims violated her release conditions, and this was sufficient to issue a warrant for her being institutionalised. So this was giving a green light for the state to hold Sims awaiting a hearing and a psychiatric evaluation. And knowing the court system with its delays and red tape, that could take some time. Now that could be thought as fair enough. Sims was aware of the conditions and what she needed to comply with to not breach her release conditions. Sims' mother, Von Tascha, stood by her daughter's side throughout all of this, and publicly so, that it was clear Sims was struggling, that no one in their right mind would stand out in the park for 2 days in cold conditions, that it wasn't like Sims just left her child there. She was there too, in the elements without food or water for those 2 days. That she loved Jieri and was a very unwell young woman who needed help and not punishment. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So where are we now? Romekia Sims lives in a rented home in Waldorf, Maryland, with her mother and younger brother. She attends therapy twice a week and participates in a support group for mentally ill caregivers. She is taking her medication, even though she says she struggles with this, as it has made her gain a significant amount of weight, a common side effect for antipsychotic medications. Sims has said that the death of her son has left her feeling ashamed and terrified of what other people think. Quote, "People would judge me for what's happened. Someone will point their finger and say, that's the mother who..." Unquote. Sims' bedroom is full of Jieri's belongings because she cannot bring herself to give any of his toys away, that she holds his clothes and toys close to her just to feel his presence. Sims visits Jieri's grave every week. Quote, "I will never get over losing my son." Unquote. Jerry Sims would later be described by those who knew and loved him as a cheerful boy who loved going outside and watching his cousins play football. He loved being read to and would pretend to read his picture books himself. Jerry loved bossing his older cousins around and playing video games with them. His favourite movies were Scooby-Doo and Austin Powers. Jerry loved singing and dancing, just like his mummy and daddy. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice. And subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.